Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Burnout is something we all face from time to time. And how can we address the causes and get the rest we need? Well, neuroscientist who only washes his face and doesn't use moisturiser or serums, as we found out earlier on, Brian Penny is in studio. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Jen. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. Let's get to it because this is really interesting stuff. Brian, what are the types of rest we need to be at our best?
There's lots of different types of rest. But I really want to focus on three things today, and it's really sensory rest, social rest, and I'm going to put mental and emotional rest together because I think that is absolutely critical. Like, we live in our heads predominantly. We can live in our heads. That's part of the problem. And when you live in your head, you will struggle with mental torture. You will not be rested in your mind. And one of the big challenges, the reason why I'm putting mental and emotional rest together, like, language is a vehicle for emotion. It's bidirectional. Like, when you think, emotions travel through that. That's a huge part of my research, a huge part of my life story, because I was always tormented and exhausted in my mind. So a lot of my studies were exploring that relationship between thinking and emotions. So if you're constantly thinking, telling yourself you're useless, worrying about the future, always up in your head, you are going to feel emotionally drained. So we need to get some kind of mental and emotional rest. And a lot of the answers are very obvious, like, and it's spending more time in the present moment. It's quieting that mental chatter down and the emotions that go with that as well. So, like, it's not simple, but
is
it's
that
hard.
Is that why therapy works so well? Because it's really focusing, like, you're present. You can't go to your phone. You're talking about your feelings there and then, maybe past and future as well. But it's quite a present thing, and that works for so many people. But people who don't do that, what are other ways you can rest for mental and emotional tiredness?
Yeah, so that does work to say, and even having a conversation with your friend and you're in the moment and you're really listening to what someone's saying, and obviously going for a walk in nature, watching sunsets, all of these things bring you into the moment. So you're spending less time up in your head, running, all of these things that we know work. But I do want to talk about a couple of little life hacks, let's say, for want of a better word, in terms of things that can work. Because sometimes, like, life is busy and we're worried about what we have to do, and there's all of these lists that we have to tick this box, tick that box. So I won't say, there's a couple of lists you can do, and I don't want to say to do it to have a to-do list, because that can turn into more things. I would call it a priority list. So at the start of a day, prioritize the things that you have to do, and it'll give you a focus on what you have to do. And it can, if you don't have a list, you're trying to remember these things, because there's a thing in our brains or in psychology called the ironic processes theory. If you're trying to forget about something, you have to think about it to forget about it. And that works as well. Like, if you have loads of things going up in your head, you have to constantly be reminding yourself in the background of that.
Yeah.
So simply putting it on a page is a fantastic way to prioritize what you have to do, and you can take it out of your head and put it on the page.
I do that all the time. It's one of the benefits of my phone, I think, because something will happen and I'll have to do something and I know I'm going to forget, or it's stressful trying to remember to do that thing. So just writing it down is, it's a big one. Kind of offloads, doesn't it? And then you set aside a time to get all that done. So that really works for me.
That really works. It's perfect for me. I couldn't live without that. And something that I found recently has worked really well is for me as well. So this would be especially for people that are working, let's say, trying to focus on something and they're getting distracted by their mind. So I literally take a piece of paper. I call it my distraction list. And if something pops into my head, instead of trying to think about it and having it up in my head, I'll just write it on the distraction list. And what I'll find is that at the end of the day or at the end of a few hours, the things on that list are not that important. So a distraction list is a lovely little hack to put things on a page so you're mentally rested and you can just look at it at the end of the day. Now, the most important list is a not-to-do list. And that is something that people tend not to do. So be aware of the things that you don't want to do, like watching negative news, spending time with people that may drain you, or different things like that. So what is on the list of the things you do that you don't want to do that potentially drain you? And I think that's the most important list you could put out there.
Okay. Interesting stuff. So then the sensory rest you talked about. This is quite obvious, but it's very hard to do.
It's very hard to do. I don't know what the percentages are on this, but so many people are slaves to our phones, and it's getting harder and harder because so much of our lives travel through our phones.
Sure.
And we're constantly getting triggered and overstimulated, whether it's the news, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, whether it's emails. People are just watching TV and YouTube, all of these different things, and it's sensory overstimulation. And we evolved, like, we did not evolve, obviously, for phones. We did not evolve even for cities. Like, the evolution of our bodies and minds has evolved through millennia to live in caves, to live in forests. And all of a sudden, we've had this crazy evolution of the human species where we've moved into cities, we have computers, we have phones, and our bodies can't cope with this. So we are constantly getting triggered. And for me, it's no surprise that there's so much mental torture out there these days, because it feeds that mental and emotional unrest, that overwhelm in your mind. So you're constantly being overstimulated. So if you want to stop getting triggered by these things, stop pulling the trigger. Like, it is that simple. But what do we do? And I think I chatted to you about this before, Jen. There's a great app out there called Freedom. Did I mention that
to
you before? Did I not?
No, go on,
so
tell me.
Freedom is a great app that basically you put it on your phone. So this is one of the challenges with the phone. Your to-do list is on your phone. So it's very useful as well as being a problem. But Freedom is an app where you can lock yourself out of certain apps. So you could say, right, lock myself out of Instagram, lock myself out of email. So you just don't have access to the things in your phone that are going to overstimulate you. So that is a great little hack for that. And I've heard of people buying these boxes, these boxes that they lock up. So they go into the house and they put their phone in a lockbox, and it locks for 3 hours. Like, that is the challenges that we're facing right now. Like, we are being driven so much by our phones that we have to lock them in a safe box that we can't access.
It's crazy. Talking about being overstimulated, I noticed how overstimulated sensory wise last night. I was watching my favourite programme, but I had my phone in my hand. Ooh. So I'm missing bits of my favourite programme because I'm on Instagram or texting or whatever, and I was like, what am I doing? I'm definitely going to get onto that app, because it got to the point where I said to my husband, for Christmas I want a Nokia 3210, I want another phone, like a dealer, right?
Yeah.
I want another phone that I can just, you know, have calls for emergency that I can't get access. But isn't it mad that we have to go to that level? Because we can't just go, no.
Yeah.
We have to go to these extremes of locking our phones away and downloading these apps to stop us from accessing these things that overstimulate us and take us away from the present.
It's crazy, and it's back to that overwhelm, the mental. It all taps back into the mental and emotional overwhelm. It got to the stage with myself where I was wanting to check my phone while I was driving in traffic, like stopping at traffic lights. I end up having to, I create an intervention for myself, but it started with putting my phone in the glove box. And I was like, I have to put my phone in the glove box while I'm driving. Like, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
It's just the pull of that the phone's having us. It's just crazy. It is.
Side note. How old do you think you should give a phone to a kid?
Oh, God, that is tough. 12, I think I got with my gut on that, and 12 came to mind. And
when they go into secondary.
When they go into secondary. And it's really challenging because their friends will have the phones, and then it'll be pulling at your heartstrings because they don't have it and their friends have it, and they'll be feeling left behind and left out and disconnected, even though phones makes you disconnected long term as well. It's a challenging topic, but I'd go with 12.
Okay. Finally, what is social rest, and how can we do it without offending people?
Right, so I think this is potentially the most important one.
Like, do you?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
go on.
Yes, even more so. It's crazy. Now, it all does tap back into mental and emotional rest. So if you have people that trigger you in your life, you're going to be mentally and emotionally tortured by people that are going to drain you mentally and emotionally in that way. But one of the things I'd say is three elements to this. So the first one is, cut the feed of people that are going to drain your energy, because we're trying to get rested. And if you're around people who are just basically bringing up, like, I have a principle in my life, no gossiping, no complaining, no condemning, none of those things, no complaining. And if you're around people that constantly complain, constantly gossip, constantly condemn other things.
But gossip is great crack, Brian.
Gossip is a funny one. That's sort of in the middle, and I get it. It's the flavour of the gossip.
I'm looking at the team and we're going red, all of us, because we're like, we love to gossip. we spend 45 minutes with an old gossip in the morning, especially if you work in radio. I mean, is there such a thing as healthy gossip?
I wouldn't say healthy gossip. I think all gossip has a flavour of...
Nastiness?
Not nastiness. I think that's a bit strong, but you are...
Negative.
Negative. There's negativity. a negative connotation to it, I think. And it, look, if you're going to gossip about something you're going to say to someone in front of their face, well, maybe that's a level that's sort of okay. And because we need to talk about things. So like if we're having a conversation about someone else and it needs to be dealt with and talked about, is that gossiping? So the wording of it, the naming, the labelling of it is actually gossiping. That's something that is up for debate maybe.
How do you do that? So you have a policy that you try not to be a complainer.
A complainer.
But you're Irish. How do you do that? That's like inherently not in you.
Yeah, I don't do complaining. It just serves no function whatsoever.
Okay, if I got your missus on the phone right now and said, does he ever say, oh, I'm a bit tired today. Oh, I'm a lot of... What would she say? Would she agree?
There's elements. Everything is nuanced, let's say. So I don't do... I get a very specific version of the man flu, let's say. Yeah. Like, I complain when my energy levels are low.
It's a good practice, though. Yeah. I mean, it's funny you're talking about this because I said to myself yesterday morning and failed miserably. I said, it's so funny. It's not... I said, I'm not going to give out or I'm not going to curse today. It lasted probably about... Well, I got out of the car and I started cursing straight away. But it's making those conscious efforts about... It's all about your psyche, like you said, language and how language is so attached to your emotional being. And it's really interesting to make conscious decisions to try and change that, to have a more balanced life and to feel more rested.
Definitely. And think about the complaints, what that would do to you. Like, this is never fair. This always happens to me. I can't believe this. Like, if that's the narrative in your mind, and language is a vehicle for emotion. There's a great quote by a Persian poet that I just love. The words we speak become the house we live in. Mm. And if you're always complaining about how crappy the world is and the people around you, you're going to feel the emotions of that as well. So getting rid of that complaining mindset is absolutely critical. And obviously there's times when I do complain. Just the fact you went down that route there.
But I actually have your missus online once. I'm only joking. It's a really interesting thing. It's like if we just focus on our emotional well-being as well, and maybe stop complaining and putting energy into negative language, geez, we'd be able to run a marathon.
We would.
We have the energy.
Because it taps back into that. Like, if back into the energy, you're going against rest by complaining and being...
It's exhausting.
And again, it's exhausting. Yeah. It's exhausting. And then, and blamers as well. Do you know people that blame? That's something that I don't do. And even if you have your missus on the phone, I think I could stand up to that.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. So the other one, Jen, so people that drain your energy, try to remove yourself. Try to stop them triggering you within that situation. Like, stop pulling the trigger as much as you can. Now, some of our loved ones trigger us the most. Yeah. So there's a level of acceptance within that as well. Obviously, there's other things to do. But there's two other trends to this as well. So try to be around people that energize you, that lift you higher. Like, have you ever been in the presence of someone where you just feel more, your vibrational frequency just goes up? So in people with enthusiasm and drive and passion, like when you're around that energy, it's contagious as much as the negative energy. So spend time around people that are going to lift you. And I think it's absolutely critical. But when I was looking into this, and this is similar to that last one that I spoke about as well, be around people that you can be authentic with. So if you can be your true self and you can... There's no mask. You can just be you and say, not have to be up in your head thinking about you might offend people. And interesting, the thing we have today about saying the wrong things to people as well. It's it's an easy way to live. Like, when you can just be yourself, it's just a more carefree, happier way to live.
And focusing on saying positive things, like we're just going back to inappropriate things, because we were talking about in the show today off air, myself and Brian were having a chat about things that were said to us as kids in school. And I never forget a teacher saying to me that I would never amount to anything and I'd end up on a park bench with a bottle of booze in my hand. I mean, half of that is kind of true, but and something was said to you in school.
Yeah, and it stung at the time and obviously resonated. And the teacher said to me, he says, so I was academic enough in school, and he says, you've more brains than a lot of people in this class, but every one of them has more character. and it was baseless. He didn't know me, and I adored that teacher, and it stung so much.
It's frightening how these things that were said to us in school by very influential people in our life have maybe driven us.
Yeah.
You know, but that goes back to language, doesn't it? And being very careful of your language. And if, you know, you're thinking positively and if you're trying to think positively, those inappropriate things and those ridiculous things won't come out of your mouth.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that baseline. I find as well, when you're more rested and you are not near, like if you're near burnout, you're more susceptible to all of these triggers and challenges. You're more susceptible to complaining and blaming and all of these kinds of things. So it's getting that baseline right and getting yourself rested emotionally, mentally, sensory, socially, all of these different things. It just helps you to live in a more carefree way.
And because I did ask you, because you're so busy and you have a lot on, but how you manage about your day being self-employed, you said to me that there's always something in your day that is for you. Now, not like self-care inverted commas, it could be exercise or sleep or rest or whatever, or something for you. And that's probably a good way to map out your day, isn't it? Instead of, oh, I have to get through all these to-do things and then, you know, flake in front of the couch at 8 o'clock tonight while being on my phone. And that's important to think about on a daily basis as well. Something for you. It could be like a 5 minute thing, a chat with a friend or a colleague or a family member. But that's inevitable for your mental and emotional well-being, right?
Massively so. And for me, and I find this for most people, especially some of the clients that I work with as well, it's when you do it in the morning, it's even extra beneficial, because when you win the morning, you win the day. So for me, I'll have a little morning routine that starts off with a bit of gratitude, a bit of affirmations, that language piece again. But exercise is critical for me. And I find when I exercise, I'm more rested. I have more energy. Like, it's one of the most, it's the little domino. It's probably a little domino that knocks down all of the other big dominoes in my life. And that is something that's absolutely crucial for my days.
If you win the morning, you win the day. There we go. Brian Penny, thanks so much. What have you got coming up?
God, lot, as I said, super busy at the moment, and I'm starting, the schools are back, so I do this mentorship program with a school in Tallaght and KCS in Killinard, and so I'm loving, dying to get back into that with the young kids in there. And also I'm bringing my course into the corporate world, so it's a program for life. So that's the big one I'm putting out there into the corporate world. It's basically a 6-module program that really taps into our basic human drive. So it's a personal development program, but it's really bringing people together in groups of 16 to 20 people and creating those connections through those basic human drives, like hope, fear, fulfillment, all of these different things. So it's like an evidence-based program that I just love delivering. So that's the big thing at the moment.
And if people want more info, where should they go?
BrianPenny.com.
There we go. And don't forget the app Brian was talking about. It's called Freedom, if you need to lock yourself out of those apps that are keeping you awake at night. Thanks, Brian.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.